So good.
Good evening, everyone. Das Tefillah 94. Seem to have sent out the wrong shear today for last week's shear. So even if you missed last week's shear, don't listen. Well, if you missed 2 weeks ago, you can listen to that. But anyway, we're starting a new short section here, which will sound a lot like the last section, but it actually does take a little bit of a different approach. Rav Rakovsky is trying to help us understand how the service, avoda, whether it be bringing a korban or whether it be davening, rectifies the mistakes that the Ovdei Avodah Zarah have brought into the world. That they brought in all of these false understandings of God and the way he relates to the world. Most of it comes back to the fact that they don't recognize him as the one God. And eventually this service will lead to the point that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be fully recognized. So the last couple of weeks, we've been just fleshing out mistake number one. Mistake number one was the main mistake of the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, that they came to worship these particular objects in the sky. They came to worship all of these kinds of things that were meant there to serve us. But we move on this week to a different mistake and a different purpose of tefillah. Ta'ut ha'omrim shitei rishuyot heim. The mistake of those who say that there is a good force and a bad force in the world. That's not exactly the same as worship. You don't need to necessarily be worshiping an idol, be worshiping the sun in order to believe this. In fact, this was the basis of Zoroastrianism, which many say was really the beginning of Avodah Zarah, to believe that there are two, at least have to be two forces in the world. Amru, Chas v'chalila, this is continuing to quote the Ramchal and the Das Tevunos. They say, those mistaken, shtei rishuyos heim, there's two different forces in the world. Echad poel tov v'echad poel ra. This is the most fundamental type of Avodah Zarah, which makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense. It doesn't make very much sense to worship the sun, but it does make a lot of sense to say that there are two different forces at work in the world. If you say that, you don't have to deal with any divine justice. You don't have to deal with the question of why good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people. You just say, there's two different forces at work. It depends who was winning that day. Who is ahead that day? Who got to choose what happens to me? Or even, they both get to choose. So bad things will happen to me because the bad God will make them happen to me, and good things will happen to me when the good God does. That's the most fundamental, simple type of Avodah Zarah, and it actually makes, in a certain sense, more sense than believing in one God and trying to understand how every little thing that happens to me could be from the same God, for the same purpose. Be'omram, ein hefech below hofcho. They said, continuing the words of the Ramchal, there's no opposite without its opposite. There's no thing without its opposite. U'bihiyoso akel yisparach shemo tachlis hatov. We know that the God that we love is the good one. That's for sure. God is all good. God loves us. God wants to do everything good. Yihyechas v'shalom kenegdo mishehu tachlis hara. That there has to be a God out there. There has to be another force that just wants bad things. U'mishnei mekoros eile amru noldos ha'pu'ulos ba'olam hazeh. And from these two forces come the things that happen in this world. This is what a lot of Greek mythology was based on. Right? It wasn't so much worshiping a statue. It was the question that there's a rain god and there's a god of love and there's a god of war. And there's so many things that happen in the world that are hard to make sense of. Well, if you assume that there are various forces up in heaven, then you don't really need to make any sense of it. There are no questions anymore. There's no being angry at God. There's no any of those things. It's just the bad God. You can't be angry at the bad God. That's what he does for a living, bad things. He's just doing what he's supposed to do. He's doing what he likes to do. And if you are mad at the bad God, okay, so what? He doesn't care. He's a bad guy. One of those bad guys in the movie or bad guys in the Hercules Disney movie. He's just a bad guy. Okay. Miktsasam letova umiktsasam lera'a. There's part for good and part of it is for bad. For hu inyan, as the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, mipalga ula ela de hormiz. Mipalga ula tata de ahormiz. Okay, there was a non-Jew, an idol worshiper, who was speaking to one of the rabbis in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, and he explained to him that speaking to Amemar, that's what this min, this heretic, said to Amemar, and they had the belief that the top half of our body was under the control of Hermes, and the bottom half of our body was under the control of Ahermes, in other words, the opposite of Hermes. Now, Amemar countered that he thinks that's pretty unlikely because the food enters his body through the top half and then leaves his body in a disgusting form through the bottom half. And he says, why would Ahormes be willing, if he's in control of the bottom half, why would he take this junk from Hermes and let it pass into his part of the body? Right, whatever you'll say. That's what the point of that Gemara is. But this is the most basic form of avodah zarah that there is. Again, it's not so much avodah zarah per se. When we speak of avodah zarah, we speak of worshiping an idol and all this and that. This is simply the belief that there are different forces out there. And the reality is, it doesn't matter what that other force is. Very often, that other force could be me, or my boss, or the Russian army, or anything, right? In other words, the belief that at the end of the day, there is another force that can overrule what God wants to happen. So that is belief in Shtei Rishuyot. Doesn't matter if it's a divine being. It's worse if it's a human being, right? The belief that somehow, even through the use of Bechira Chafshis, there's another force in the world that ultimately can decide what happens to me other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeshna kan kfira bebore yachid shel habriya. This is a kfira, a rejection of the fact that there is one creator, one singular creator in the universe. Hatfisa sheyesh chayav shtei rishuyot. That there's not chayav, chas v'shalom. That's what it's supposed to say, right? The understanding that there is chas v'shalom two different forces. Novat me'i hakara betachlis inyan hara. Where does this come from? Why would you begin to believe that there are two forces in the world? Because you misunderstand, as we've been talking about, what evil is about. If you think that evil is truly evil, if you think that the bad things that happen in the world are for their own sake, if you can't see them as the tipul, as the connection that we have to a loving parent who sometimes has to put us through certain things for our own good, that's where you get this idea. When you can't sink it, when you can't make it work, and it's so hard to make it work, but when you can't see how everything comes from one place, the easiest out is to assume that there's another force at work. Umemela mischayeves ha'afroda bein ma'areches hara l'shorsha, mekor habriya kula. It causes, when you can't understand why could this possibly happen to me, then you assume that it couldn't be given to me by my loving Father in heaven. That's impossible. There must therefore be another source, not another reason, but another source for the thing that's happening to me. Because I know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Tov HaMeitiv. I know that he's the one that brings me the good things in my life. So this idea of two forces really comes from the human inability, and it's hard, to comprehend how this could be for my good. How could this be coming from a God who cares for me? Ba'asher lo yochlu heim limtso hezber, heyach mehatov betachlis, yotza inyan ra. They can't, we can't, figure out how if God is ultimately good, how could something that looks so bad emerge from him? Oved Hashem, a person who is a true believer and server of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mitpalel liyotzer or of orichoshech oseh shalom, uvorei, we say in tefillah, vorei hakol. That's not what the pasuk says. We say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is oseh shalom uvorei ra. We praise God as the creator of difficult things. Ma'amin v'yodeyahu, a real believer, he believes shetachlis b'riyas mareches hara, that the reason why all these bad things happen, l'shamesh es inyan habachira, they are, first of all, to give us free choice. Number one reason, he says, he's going to explain why is it that these bad things have to happen. Number one, to give us some free choice. The first reason is to give us free choice. If it would be so clear, if things would proceed so in such a linear fashion, in such a cause and effect, that I do something and something good happens to me, I do something else, something bad happens to me, if it would be so clear, we would lose our free choice. V'shesof davar zehu, ha-haga'a l'shleimus u'l'kabolas haschar b'derech gemul, v'lo k'chesed chinam na'ama d'kisufa. He's going to, in this tiny little short thing, explain to us all the reasons why bad things have to happen. Number one, bad things allow for free choice. We're not going to get into the question of bad things are free choice, other people's free choice. But when bad things happen, it strengthens our free choice. Because if everything was good, we would know there was a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We would know that our mitzvos led to that. It's those moments of doubt that make us wonder, is there a God for sure? That is supposed to be maintained. That is supposed to be maintained. We're supposed to never be absolutely sure. We're supposed to choose to serve God. We're supposed to choose to believe in God. Belief is not the same as knowledge. I know the Rambam does speak of knowledge, but we'll leave out that phrase from the Rambam in a for now. But we are told we're supposed to believe there's a God. I know that there's a shear going on upstairs, a level up that Tammy was on before. I know that there's another shear going on now, which Hollywood people are on. I don't believe that. I know that. When we speak of belief, belief implies doubt. Belief implies doubt. I always used to say that to my students. Now my students are too frum for me to even say that. But I used to be able to say to them, belief implies doubt. I'm not supposed to be 1,000% sure. The Michtam Eliyahu writes that after after periods in Jewish history where there is a tremendous understanding of vadaos, a certainty that there's a God, there's always going to be a period where there's less certainty that there's a God. And when there's periods that there's less certainty there's a God, there's going to be followed by periods of more certainty of God. So for example, how is it that the Jewish people fell into the trap of serving an idol at the foot of Har Sinai 40 days after they heard God's voice? So many, many understandings of exactly what happened there. But the Michtam Eliyahu says that in addition to everything else you'll explain, you have to explain that for some reason it became difficult to believe in God and Moshe at that time. Unusually difficult. Unusually difficult. And that was necessary to restore the free choice of the people. Because when you're so certain there's a God, there's no reason to be here anymore. The whole reason why we wake up in the morning is to choose God, even though it's not clear to us 100% that he's there. That's belief. That's the belief. And the same thing is true, although the Mechta Meliyahu didn't say it and wouldn't say it, I believe happened with the Holocaust and then the founding of the State of Israel. A time of tremendous darkness, followed by a time of a tremendous miracle just to even it out, right? The Rambam discusses this when it comes to, right? Well, many of the Mefarshim discuss this when they talk about Paro and hardening his heart, right? Trying to maintain that ability. One understanding of the hardening of Paro's heart, how could Paro be punished? Everyone asks. How could Paro be punished if HaKadosh Baruch Hu hardened his heart? So one understanding is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by hardening his heart, brought him back to equilibrium. Anybody who saw the miracles that Paro saw should have been certain that there is a God. What did Paro do when he hardened his heart? He simply brought it back to equilibrium. He hardened it enough that it was 50-50 again. It's 50-50 again. Right? That's what happened to Paro. And that's why it was still Paro's free choice that led to HaKadosh Baruch Hu restored his free choice, didn't take away his free choice. So the same thing is true in terms of us. Enough bad things have to happen in order that our free choice be maintained, that we doubt, that we aren't sure that he's there. Yes, Tammy.
So I have a question, comment-ish. I mean, so where's the fine line of apikorsos? And then also, so when then we have blind belief or blind knowledge or blind faith, whatever word you want to use, because we just know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there, it's almost like we're bringing bad upon ourselves. We're having to push us in the other direction.
No, again, it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean it's blind. It doesn't mean blind faith, right? Not knowing for certain is not the same thing as blind faith. There are many, many, many reasons why we believe there's a HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are many, many reasons why.
So when I doubt, that's a healthy doubt and it's not heresy?
Nope. Heresy is to go with it. In fact, it's what belief means when I don't go with it, when I let it go. That's what it means. It's not that moment. It's not that moment when I think for a second and I say, "Is there anybody out there?" That's not that. That's not a problem. That's human nature. When I push back against it and say, no, I refuse to believe that. I've seen enough in my life. I've heard enough. I've learned enough that I'm going
to
leave that.
To know that Hashem is here. Or are you saying that if we use the word no to know, then we're just bringing more harm to ourselves? That's what I'm hearing.
We can't know for sure. There always has to be what he's saying here is that when bad things happen, it helps keep our emuna in check. It helps us, it allows us to be free choosers. It allows us to choose God, to believe in God. Right? And it allows us, therefore,
to have a hard time with this.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But that's the whole purpose why we're here. That's the purpose why we're here. Right? If we were absolutely certain, without a doubt, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed himself to us in front of our faces right now, we wouldn't accrue any reward. We wouldn't accrue any merit in deciding to do it. We'd have to do it. Right? The point is, it's supposed to be Ha'agol Ishlemus Ulekabolas Haschar B'derach Gumul. We're supposed to earn our place in the next world. For lo kechesed chinam, not nama de kisufa, the bread of embarrassment. Right? We learned this much earlier in the Sefer. That's the whole idea of the Ramchal, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give us reward, but he wants us to earn what we have, so it's meaningful. So he's pointing out that one of the reasons why bad things happen, one of the reasons why God hides his face, is to give us room to believe. It's to give us room to believe. To challenge us. It's a fascinating piece in the Yaros Dvash, written by Rav Yonason Eibshitz, in the bracha in the whole first section of the Aras Dvash is an analysis of Shmoneh Esrei. So I've had to see that for various tefillah talks. So in the bracha of Hashiveinu Avinu L'Sorasecha, so he says something very, very scary. He says something very, very scary in the bracha of Hashiveinu Avinu. He says that when a person decides to do tshuva and to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will initially show the person some good signs. He will do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will, if a person starts to do tshuva, the person will see a certain amount of siyata dishmaya in there, in what they do. And then, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will pull away to see if we'll keep following him through that period of darkness. He says that is the typical path that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes. He says, oh, I'm so wonderful, you're back, come. And then for your final test, he says, you may have to, or you're likely to have to, go through a difficult time after you already did your tshuva, once you already put in your whatevers, to see if you'll stick with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because that's what it really means to choose HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you're not necessarily seeing it. That's the first reason he gives as to why there's... Again, what are we doing here? Why are we suddenly discussing why there's evil? Because if we can realize that difficult things, that difficult moments have a purpose, we don't need to ascribe them to somebody else, to something else. The root of that, the root of Avodah Zarah, the root of the original Avodah Zarah, perhaps, of Zoroastrianism, was to see difficult things and not to be able to think of any reason why a loving God would do that. Ma'amin v'yodeyahu, number two, shebebriyas hara nitna lo ha'efsharut lehagia l'shleimuto. The second thing is that evil has created the ability for me to have to fix and to make my own life and my own success. V'zos ba'avodoso lehisgaber v'lishlol ulesakein ma'areches zu. Therefore, I can fix things, I can achieve on myself, and I get to imitate my creator, b'midas ha'efsher, in a tiny little way, in order to be able to connect with him. You know what else is good about evil? It gives me something to fix. It gives me something to do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when I walk in the room, knocks down that tower of magna tiles and says, here, Penner, you build something. And when I build it, I don't feel like, oh, I just put back what was there before. I feel like, oh, I built something. I did something. I created something. It gives me a feeling that I am somehow closer to Ribono Shel Olam, someone that I admire so much, a parent. I just want to be able to do what my parent did. But if my parent is so perfect, if my parent leaves me no room, then I have nothing to fix and I have nothing to create myself. So the presence of evil in the world gives me an opportunity to be godlike, to fix something, to create something, to perfect something. That's reason number two. Ma'amin v'yodeyahu shetachlis inyan b'riyas hara. And third, a person who is a believer believes, who serves Hashem believes, Gilu Yehudo Yisparach Shiyizgala La'asid Lavo, that all of this evil is also there, as we've been talking about in the previous year, for the grand finale, when the curtain will be pulled away and we'll realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is behind everything. Shekol Ma'aracha Zu Haisa Nishletes Al Yedei Abori Yisparach. We'll see how all the difficult things were really there, and we'll really understand what it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was fully in charge. If we didn't have these doubts, if we didn't have the questions, the answers wouldn't be so resounding. We all know that there's nothing, a statement is nothing like an answer. When we had a doubt, when we had the feeling that something was off, and then it was revealed to us why we were wrong, that leaves a much more lasting impression. So there too, The creation of evil allows for this. L'ribuy kvod shamayim uba'oso yom shetispatam arechas haravi achtov yisgali yichud yisbaruch abriya v'hashem echad ushmo echad. Three reasons, very quickly, as to why it could be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates evil or sometimes turns away. Number one, to maintain our free choice, because without free choice, then the whole purpose of creation is gone, that we should be able to play in this big game of life and choose good and earn our Olam Haba. Number two, it allows us not only to make a decision that's free choice, but actively with our hands to fix that which is broken, to play the role of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be a creator ourselves. And number three, it allows for this great ending, for this great finish, spectacular finish at the end of time. As it says, the Medrash says, Tov ze Yetzer Hara. Yetzer HaTov. Tov Ma'od ze Yetzer Hara. Tov Zumidas HaTov. Ma'od Zumidas Yisurin. Tov Zugan Eden. Ma'od Zugehenem. Tov Zemalach HaChayim. Ma'od Zemalach HaMavis. Tov Zumidas HaTov. Ma'od Zumidas HaPuranus. Okay, that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu's brilliance could have led him to understand that the ultimate good is only found after going through moments and times of evil. If we voted what the ultimate good would be, we'd say the ultimate good, what is Tov? Tov is everything should be right all the time. Everything should be fine all the time. Kadosh Baruch Hu understood that what we think is good is nothing compared to the ultimate goodness. And to get to that ultimate goodness, you need a Yetzer Hara, right? We would have said if the goal is to make the right decisions, don't give us a Yetzer Hara. Kadosh Baruch Hu said no, because then they're not even decisions. We would have said that the ultimate good is that things should be fine for us all the time. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, it's Yisurin. Because the good that I have waiting for you is not a pleasant day, a sunny day, but the good that I have waiting for you is the result of all this rain that eventually will grow something more than you can imagine. I would have thought the good is to go right to Gan Eden. It's very nice. But Ma'od is Gehenim. Because if we went right to Gan Eden, we'd go with all of our mistakes and problems, and he allows us a way to get to a much greater place in Gan Eden by having Gehenna. I would have thought that the ultimate good is to stay alive forever. But Kadosh Baruch Hu understands that you can't truly appreciate what he can give us if we're in these bodies. And therefore, it's the Malach HaMavis. Tov Zumidas HaTov, Ma'od Zumidas HaPuranos. All the things in the world that seem to us as negatives are just because of our lack of understanding. They're just because of our lack of understanding. And it's easy to say, give lip service to it. That's all we're doing now. It's difficult to really feel this, especially when it's really bad. It's not just something you bring up on a Tuesday night. But the little bit that we know, the fact that we can have a discussion like this, that we can have a share like this, has to help us, has to be, kind of be in our pocket, has to already be in our briefcase for when difficult stuff comes that we say, you know, this is the one thing I can't understand. It's really, no. It's a hara, midas yisurin, gehenna, malachamaves, midas peranios. And that's ultimately, we'll see next time, that's what comes from tefillah. Tefillah and karbanos is our way of establishing that even that which is bad is really connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore is ultimately good, and therefore I don't need to imagine there's any other force at play here. It causes us to expand our mind. Every time we daven, every time we bring a korban, we'll see how this happens. The idea is to ponder how that which we see as difficult is really for our good. And if so, we can begin to fathom in the slightest way how it could come from a loving Father in heaven. Okay, we'll see you next week. Amitz Hashem. I have an 11:50 flight from JFK, but right now the plan is should be able to do 8:30 to 9 and go. That's listen. They got to get something for living in the five towns. At least you live close to JFK. You live closer to the ship that takes you to Eretz Israel. So, Mirza Shem, we'll have a shear. I'll be all packed, I hope, and ready to go. So that should be next week at 8:30. Okay. Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
Yes, Rabbi Drelich.
Yeah, I just wanted to say one thing. I think that part of that balance is it's not for Hashem to know if we're going to follow, but it's for us to know if we're going to follow. Meaning, when we hit with the Surim, right, we get a little closer to Hashem, and then Hashem, okay. You know, it's like with a kid learning how to walk. You know, you first hold on. And
that's right. You're talking about the Yaros Dvash. The Yaros Dvash. Yeah, at some point, he's got to get you started, right? If he doesn't hold on to the back of the bicycle, you're not going to take those first couple of pedals. But it is eerie to see it inside, to see where he says that, you know, you can expect that in return for your devotion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can expect that there's going to be a period of darkness. That's the last stage in sort of the test to see if you'll stick with the
Thank program. You so much, Rabbi Penner.
Okay. Have a good night, everybody. Kol Tov.
Good night. Thank you.
Thank you.